Good morning. Our first reading today is found in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come from Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading for today is found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. This is the word of the Lord.
To honor the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us rise. The words of our gospel this day are taken from St. John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17. This will also serve as the basis for my sermon this morning. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be. Dear Christian friends, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those words, whether you read them or whether you hear them spoken, are rather chilling. Our Lord is in incredible agony on Golgotha. Our Lord is in incredible pain when he cries out at that moment. As the Father loved me, those two are words that were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words open our gospel lesson for today. Those words were spoken just hours before the words, my God, why have you forsaken? And so now we need to ask ourselves, how do those mesh? How do those come together at all in terms of the Father's love for Jesus, Jesus' love for the Father, and their love for us as this gospel lesson expands? Now, keep in mind, we are in the end of the Easter season. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday of Easter. But Jesus will not be a part of those disciples bodily at that point because the ascension is Thursday. And so we go to the upper room now again. And in that upper room, we begin by thinking of what had transpired for the disciples. For the disciples, prior to the upper room, they had seen Lazarus come out of the tomb alive. They watched as that tomb with stone was rolled away, and Lazarus, a man who had been dead, was alive. And shortly after that, the disciples had been walking with Jesus as Jesus was riding into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now, I can't tell you if the disciples had a smile on their face at that moment, but they sure were smiling on the inside, and I bet you their hearts were pom, 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 as they saw the people singing, laying their robes down. Then, the next day, he goes up to Temple Mount, turns the table of the money changers over. Talk about an in-your-face moment. There it was. And the disciples were getting ready to catch the head size of Jesus because they wanted to put that crown right there. They were ready. Just what they had hoped. Just what they expected. And they couldn't wait to be standing around the throne when Jesus sat there, whether it would be Herod's or Pilate's. And then they go into the upper room. And instead of Jesus standing there so they could measure his head size for the crown, he's on his knees, checking their foot size, washing their feet, showing what a servant is. And we've got Peter who lips off as he normally did. You're not washing these feet. Jesus said in so many words, look at big guy. If I don't wash those feet, you're not part of me. Then wash my entire body. What you're witnessing at that moment is the brain dead disciples. 3 years. 3 years these boys had watched what he did. How he worked with people. how he worked with them, touching them, how he worked with individuals who were sick, blind, lame, how he worked with people who were hurting. For 3 years, 3 years, they had listened to him, hearing the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain, all of his parables, all of his interactions with individuals and religious leaders and the other. Always talking about how he came to serve. Always speaking about his relationship with the Father. Never, not once, did you ever hear him saying to the disciples that he had come to build an earthly kingdom. Not once. And there's a reason why he never said that. Because that's not why he came. That's not why he came to this. And for the disciples, seeing all of this now unfold, Jesus talking about returning to his Father, and once again the disciples going, where are you going? We don't know the way. And Jesus speaks to the disciples and he speaks to us right now. I'm the way, he said. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And Jesus begins to share in his love. It's coming. It'll be there for you. Because I chose you. I chose you. This wasn't your decision. I chose you. All the words about betrayal, all the words about Peter denying, all of those words, and yet, what else is there for you and for me? That he's never going to be gone. Bodily? Yes. That's what the ascension is all about. But in a few minutes, you're going to come forward. In a few minutes, you are going to have a piece of bread put into your hand. In a few minutes, you are going to take a cup of wine. And Jesus says to you and to me, it's for you. It's very personal. Just you and God at that moment. Now, I was watching an individual talking about church, and they said, well, we don't go to church, but we think it's really neat when people go up together and they go, I think they call it communion. And I thought to myself, isn't it so nice that the world thinks we're so adorable, huh? Coming up and standing, so cute, so one with one another, oh, those feelings. What a bunch of garbage. We're standing up here to receive that body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We're standing up here with our brothers and sisters in Christ to rejoice because Jesus says, do it to remember me. Remember everything that I've done for you. Remember that I chose you. Remember that I died for you. Remember that pain. And you see, now we begin to see the convergence. Because God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Jesus wanted to come. Jesus came because we sinned. Because we could not save ourselves. That's not part of the plan where you and I can figure it all out. Make those decisions for Jesus. Jesus made the decision. He came. And in a couple of weeks when we celebrate Pentecost, it is one of the greatest moments of explosion. Because we will see these brain dead disciples at this moment come alive and go. And that's what the Spirit does for us. And that's the moment and that's the joy that you and I have, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ loved us. And the Father loved us. And the Father's love for His Son and for us was that He was willing to abandon His Son. But let's not forget, He knew Jesus was going to rise. He knew Jesus was going to come back. And that's the blessing and that's the hope and that's the joy for us. And he sends the disciples out. And he sends them out. And he sends them out to do what? Does he send them out with a spear? Does he send them out with a sword? Does he send them out that way? He sends them out with his word. He sends them out with the power of his word to change hearts. And he sends them out to remind people that he is with us always. There's not an earthly kingdom. It's strange that Christians even today think that somehow we have to build an earthly kingdom here. I can't imagine a more repugnant thing. We are here to be involved in the salvation of souls. We don't do it. We just share it. We just rejoice in it. We are thankful to be a part of it. Each and every one of us. That's the blessing that you and I have today. I was walking down the hall. Walking down the hall of Harriman Hospital. Harriman Hospital is in Roane County, Tennessee. I don't even know if it's still open. Little tiny hospital. But it was the hospital that was very close by to my first parish. And I was there to visit an individual or individuals one day. And as I'm walking down the hall, I hear in this beautiful, lilting southern voice, "Pastor Vogelsang! Pastor Vogelsang!" I knew before I even turned around that it was Miss Shelby Ellis. Now, Shelby Ellis was a member of our congregation. She was a nurse, RN. Shelby Ellis had three wonderful sons, Brian and Jackie and David, brothers in the church. Was hoping and praying that her husband Brownie would also be a part of the church. She said, "Pastor Vogelsang, I need you to visit somebody." And I said, "Well, do I know him? Is he a member of the church?" She said. She said, "No. But he's not going to bite you, Pastor. I'll be there with you." Shelby Ellis zinged me more times in those few years than any other person in my ministry. And so I went into this room because she said this man was going to die very soon and they didn't know anybody who knew him. And they had made requests of his family and hadn't heard anything yet. And so I went into the room with Shelby, took a chair and moved. It was always two beds in there. There was a screen. And I sat down and I took his hand and he was sleeping and his name was Robert. And I said, "Robert, this is Pastor Vogelsang and I'm here to talk to you about Jesus." His eyes flickered. Then they opened. He looked at me and he smiled. He said, "So you've come to talk to me about my first friend?" I said, "Yeah. That's exactly what I'm here for. And so we talk, maybe 15 minutes, very tired. 2 hours later, I got a call from Shelby that he had died. But he didn't die alone. He died with his friend. And you see, that's what's so special. You and I today have already sung together. You and I together have already confessed our sins. You and I have heard the message of forgiveness. You and I have listened to a wonderful children's sermon. And we know that Jesus has said to us, I chose you. I chose you. But we're with brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here with our family. We're not apart. Don't ever sell short how important it is to be with your family in worship, to come and to worship and to honor Jesus Christ, and also to feel the blessings that Jesus Christ gives to us. We are friends. We are ones who have gathered together, united together, strengthened together, sharing together, living together, forgiven together. Now Jesus says to you, as he says to me, go into the world and use the blessings that I have given to you. Honestly, as I say many times, it just doesn't get much better than that. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your forgiveness. Enjoy the reality of Christ. And know that He is with you always, because He chose you.